Say thank you so much for coming to be part of us this morning. Really hope you're enjoying your morning with us. We at the moment are going through a teaching series called The Disciple. Now, a disciple is simply a Bible word which means learner. Okay, and we are considering together what it means to be live life like Jesus, how we're learning to be his disciples, and we're going to just continue that series together this morning. And before I get into what we're going to talk about, I thought you might be interested. Just wave at me if you got involved in the week of prayer at all last week. Just wave a hand. I thought you might be interested to know that since we prayed, I know of at least four people who've given their lives to Christ this past week. You can get very excited about that, okay? And let me try that again. There are at least four people who've given their lives to Christ. That's better. There you go. Woo! Come on. And I said this last week, I'll say it again, there is a prayer revolution coming to us as a church, okay? There is a prayer revolution coming. And I tell you, when the people of God pray, hell had better watch out. Because God answers the prayers of his people. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And right now there are four people in the kingdom that weren't this time a week ago. And we were asking God to bring salvation, and it's coming, guys, it's coming. And so it's so exciting. Can I encourage you to keep praying, to keep asking God? I feel like there is something moving in terms of momentum of salvation particularly. I just want to encourage us to keep calling on God, because he's with us, he's for us. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive straight into what we're going to talk about this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us. Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you that you are a healing, saving God. Lord, there is nobody else like you. God, we thank you that we live with this joyful anticipation that one day there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more weeping, no more pain. God, thank you that you have swallowed up at the cross death and sin and darkness and defeat. And we thank you that you have won a victory once and for all. We love you, Jesus. Just where you're sitting, why don't you just tell him that you love him? Just draw near to him in your heart. You may be here and you may not yet be a Christian. You can draw near to your true heavenly Father right now where you're sitting. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. We just welcome your presence here, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. God, I pray, come and speak to each one of us this morning as we draw near to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, before I just get into preaching, I just wanted to share one quick prophetic word with one person, which is the lady sitting right in the middle there. You're dressed in black, you've got glasses, and I'm pointing directly at you. You're looking to your left. Yes, it's you! It's you. What's your name? Yeah. Angela, I'm just going to take a real quick moment. I just feel like God was speaking to me for you during the meeting. And I just wanted to take a real quick moment to just share what I felt God was saying to you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, okay? Don't worry. I think there's a verse in the Bible that talks about one generation will commend your works to the next. And that we will tell your faithfulness from one generation to another. And I feel like God just wanted to speak to you this morning, Angela, about his faithfulness to you and also to the generations in your family. And I felt like this was a time actually of you discovering for yourself God's plan for your life. I saw you actually in a time where you're actually asking some very, very big questions about him. And I feel like you are actually on a journey to discovering the faithfulness of God in your own life. And that he wants to particularly speak to you about your own family. I don't know if you have sons, but I felt like God was particularly wanting to speak to you about your sons. I wanted to give you hope, actually, for your own children, that your own children are going to commend the works of God. And they, in turn, are going to commend the works of God to their own children. Because God actually has planned to set your family up as a place of his glory and as a place of his hope and a place of his presence. And God says, actually, even before you knew him, God had a plan for your life. And I feel like you've actually, in your own life, you've walked through some incredible challenges. I felt like there'd been some health and financial challenges, particularly that you'd had to walk through, and that God had been with you even in the midst of those, and that there'd been, I get this sense of God's protection over your life. Even as you've walked through some very, very challenging personal circumstances, God actually has been protecting you because he's been preserving your life, because your life has a purpose. And I feel like one of the purposes for your life, Angela, is that I actually felt like you were going to speak to and be a voice towards those who were suffering violence and injustice in some way. And that you are going to speak up on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. And I feel like there's something even in your own community where you live and where you work, that you are going to be a powerful voice for freedom and hope for other people. Because God says your circumstances do not define you. What defines you is what God says is true about you, Angela. And he says you are a beloved daughter of God. You are no accident. You were placed on this planet for a purpose, and it was to know him, and it was to make him known to other people around him. And I feel like God wants to say to you, Angela, you are not an anxious person. Not an anxious person. You are a woman of courage. You are a woman of courage. And I feel like today, God just wants to commend you. And he wants to say, well done, well done. And God in this season is going to reveal himself to you personally in a very, very powerful way, because you are a woman of great purpose and destiny. So I hope that makes some sense to you and encourages you, Angela. And I hope that didn't embarrass you too much. Why don't we just applaud Angela just for taking that so well. Well, if you have got a Bible, why don't you just turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses together. If you don't have a Bible, the words are going to come up on the screen just behind me. And we're going to just read some words that Paul, who is an apostle, is writing to one of his dear friends, Timothy. And we read this in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 1. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. And then if you skip down to verse 18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Now, Timothy is one of Paul's closest friends and companions. He's one of the guys, in fact, the only guy that Paul says, he is my true son in the faith. And Paul has left Timothy leading in a very, very influential church in the Greco-Roman world. It was a church in a great metropolitan city called Ephesus. We've just recently sent a team to Turkey, which is where Ephesus is. Just wave at me if you went to Turkey. Okay, these guys visited Ephesus, which is exactly where Timothy was when Paul was writing this particular letter to him. And one of Timothy's reasons for being in this church was to help the church know how to think properly. And so Paul says, listen, Timothy, one of your key jobs here is to make sure that Jesus is front and center, because there are people to the left and the right of you who are making controversy and speculation. They're teaching false doctrine. So Timothy, one of the things I'm wanting you to do is to teach people how to think correctly about Jesus and the kingdom. And that's why Timothy is there. And one of the things that Paul understands about Timothy's role is that in order to do this, Timothy needs some of the right spiritual weapons in his life. He needs the right toolkit as a soldier of the king. And one of those key pieces of weaponry is the prophetic, which is why Paul says in verse 18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. You see, a disciple of Jesus needs to have the right tools in his toolkit. And one of those fundamental primary tools is the prophetic, is the hearing of God's voice. Put very simply, you need to be hearing God's voice in order to live well. Okay? That's why Jesus, when he's in the desert, he's being tempted. One of the verses that he quotes to the enemy when he's being tempted is this: listen, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now that word proceeds literally means God's active, living, now voice. Jesus is saying, if you want to live, then it's no good just having 60 meals a day. It's no good just going home and having your dinner and your breakfast. Actually, you need something more if you're really going to live. You need to hear the proceeding words of God to you. if you're really going to live and be alive as a person, you need to know what God's saying. And so the prophetic is one of these key pieces of weaponry in the disciples' life, to hear God's active voice. I remember the very first time that I came to this church, King's Arms Church, it was in 1994. I was 18 years old, and we used to meet in Dame Alice School, and I remember turning up to an evening meeting. There were donuts, which I thought was just amazing. I'd never been to a Christian meeting where there were donuts, but there were loads of donuts, so I thought, well, this is fantastic. But more than that, in the middle of the service, quite to my surprise, someone pointed at me, much as I just did to Angela, and I had the same sort of look of shock as you did on your face, and someone pointed at me and said, I just feel like God wants to speak to that young man there. I was like, gosh. And they stood me up and they began to prophesy to me and tell me what they felt God was saying. And on that occasion, the lady who was prophesying said, God says that you are going to build on your father's heritage and that you are going to be like Solomon was with David. And you are going to build a habitation for the Lord in which his glory is present. And God says he is going to be pleased to dwell in that which you build, because God is calling you to build a house for his glory. I tell you, that was like a woo. That was a moment that I will never, ever forget. And to be honest, since that moment, that word and numbers others like it have become for me a blueprint for my life. They've become like food for me. Words like that have become like daily bread for me, saying, because God, you said that's what I was going to do. And I think it's actually quite amazing that 20 years later, here I am in the King's Arms where that was prophesied. And I think actually God does have a plan to build a house for his glory. And I believe it's right here amongst other places. But I do believe he has a plan to do that here. You see, when God speaks, it's not just information about the future, it's impartation for change. Did you get that? When God speaks, he's not just passing on information about the future, he's passing on actual impartation that enables you to change and become a different person. Because contained in the DNA of God's voice is the power for transformation. I remember prophesying over one young man a number of years ago. He happened to just walk into a meeting that I was in, and I prophesied over him that he was going to become a musician, and he was going to have a recording contract, and that he was going to be involved in the music industry and bring the kingdom into that arena. Well, a couple of years later, he came and found me at a different conference. He was actually from Manchester, and he said, Phil, do you remember me? I said, no, not really. And then he retold the word that I'd given him, and he said, I just thought you'd like to know what happened since you gave that word. I was like, I'd love to. Tell me. He said, well, when you prophesied over me, I'd only just started learning the bass guitar. And he said, but 2 years on, I'm now a session musician. I'm playing in London. I'm just cutting my first CD, and I've just been on tour with Olly Murs playing bass guitar. And he said, I just thought you'd like to know that something happened in that moment when you prophesied. God did something in me, and I suddenly realized my purpose of being on the planet. You see, when God speaks to you, it's not just information, it's impartation. And that's why you need God's voice to live. You need his voice to live. And so the big question then is, well, how do I hear God, Phil? It's a very good question. I'm glad you asked. Okay? Because here is our next discipleship tool, and it's called Record the Prophetic. And most of you will be very familiar with the record button. That should be red. I don't have a red pen. Okay, you're very familiar with the record button on your kind of audio kind of systems or your PCs. And really, this is a very simple tool for showing us five different ways in which we can sense what God is saying to us prophetically. And we're just actually going to start drawing a little face on this record button, okay? Because one of the ways in which God speaks to you is through what you see. Okay, what you see is one of the vehicles in which God loves to speak to you, whether it's seeing what God says in scripture or whether it's seeing in a visionary realm, in a revelatory realm. God also speaks through our senses. That's a nose, in case you didn't realize. Okay, he speaks through our senses. Again, many of us are very familiar with a very strong sense of intuition or feelings or gut hunches or burdens, those things that you can sniff in the air. Okay, well, that's one of the ways in which God speaks to us is through our senses. He obviously speaks through what we speak. I don't know if you've ever had that occasion where you say something and you think, wow, that was really good. That was God. That was God speaking through me. Or also when other people counsel us, that's one of the ways in which God speaks to us is through the counsel of other people. God also speaks through our mind, through your brain, that gray matter between your ears. That's one of the ways in which God will speak to you, is through what you fill your mind with. And then, of course, also the things that you hear. The things that you hear. Again, whether that's the inner or the audible voice of God, the things that we hear in the spirit realm is one of the other ways in which God speaks to us. And one of the key things for a disciple of Christ is to learn how to record what God is saying to you, to record the prophetic. And I just want to take a few moments at looking at each of those five areas at the ways in which God speaks. So firstly, the eyes. Let's look at the eyes together. God speaks to us through what we see. Now, first of all, obviously that is talking about scripture. Just wave at me if you have a Bible this morning with you. Okay, now if you come to church without a Bible, I don't mean this to condemn you at all. It is like a soldier turning up to the battlefront without a sword or a gun. All right, I really mean that. Scripture is one of the key ways in which God wants to speak to you. And this is what 2 Timothy says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, if you want to hear God's active voice every day, then open the pages of your Bible and let him speak to you. Let him feed you from his words, his inerrant, ever-fresh word. Let him speak to you through his word. And you know, it's possible to read the Bible but still not hear what God is saying. And if you've ever experienced that, it's possible to read the Bible but not actually hear God's voice. And that's because you were designed to read the scriptures with a spirit guide. It's called the Holy Spirit. Okay, you were designed to read your Bible with the Holy Spirit, who is called our helper, our empowerer, the paraclete, the helper from above. We're meant to read the scriptures with one eye on the page, but the other eye on Holy Spirit. What do you want to say to me through what I'm reading? Speak to me, please, today, Lord. I remember one of the passages that really has lived with me through the years, which is, speaks to me in a very constant way, is Ezekiel 37, which is the account of Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. You may remember the story. Ezekiel finds himself in the Valley of Dry Bones, and God says to Ezekiel, son, can these bones live? And he says, God, only you know. He says, well, prophesy to the bones and you'll see them become a mighty army. That scripture has spoken to me constantly through the last decade, probably longer. And I remember when I was in Newcastle, and there was an evening service when I was becoming an elder in that particular church. And I remember a good friend of mine who knew my passion for Ezekiel 37. He deliberately read it when they were praying for me to become an elder. And I just cried buckets. And afterwards I said, you swine, you knew I was gonna cry. He said, yeah, that's exactly why I read it. Because God wants to speak to you from his words. His living, active voice speaking to you. And if you didn't hear Simon's message on our discipleship tool around the Word of God, it's called Stop and Read the Word. I would encourage you to listen to that message because it will help you know how to get the most out of Scripture. But the other way in which we hear God through what we see is obviously through visions, pictures, and images that have spiritual meanings. Just wave at me if God's ever spoken to you through some kind of picture or image. Okay. Again, this is one of the ways in which Jeremiah started out in the prophetic ministry. Jeremiah is just a young guy. God calls him to hear his voice. And this is the very first question that God asks Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see an almond tree. Now, I don't know if that was an actual almond tree or if it was a picture of an almond tree. I don't know. But that's what he saw. And God says, well done, son. You've seen correctly. And then he asks him again, now what do you see? He says, I see a pot of boiling water tilting towards us from the north. God says, well done, son. This is what it means. There's judgment coming from the north to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah started out very simply by just seeing and understanding that the things that he saw had spiritual meanings from God. It's one of the key ways in which God will speak to us. And often those pieces of revelation come to us just in flash images or thoughts. Again, I've told this story many times before, but I remember when I was teaching my own children how to hear God, there was one occasion in our bathroom, we're all kind of cleaning our teeth, and Sam, who was six at the time, said, Dad, God never speaks to me. God never speaks to me. I said, well, son, he does want to speak to you. Why don't we ask him to give you a picture? He's like, okay. So I said, well, why don't you just sit yourself down? So he sat himself in the toilet. And he assumed kind of position and he closed his eyes. And I said, Father, please, will you just come and speak to Sam? And I said, Sam, just tell me the first image that comes into your head. He said, I can see a picture of you praying in your bedroom. I was like, that's fantastic, Sam. I said, what do you think God's saying through that? He's like, I don't know. So, okay, well, why don't we ask God? Okay, God, please come and show Sam what this picture means. What do you think it means? God, I think God's saying he wants you to pray more, Dad. I was like, yeah, that was a great word. It was true. God did want me to pray more. That was right from heaven. But it was such a simple word that a little six-year-old can get. And God will often want to speak to you through what you see physically. You know, I never forget the occasion when I was coming down the train to a King's Arms Leaders Weekend. I wasn't part of the church at the time. And I think it was maybe the first or second time they'd ever come to a Leaders Weekend here to speak and to teach. And I remember quite out of the blue, as I was coming down on the train, I suddenly saw in my mind's eye a very, very clear picture of this building. And I remember seeing a building with huge kind of glass frontage on the front, and there being a bus stop outside, and there being a fairly new housing estate quite nearby. And a girl began to speak to me about this particular building. And I remember coming to that King's Arms Leaders Weekend and saying, I don't know if you guys are looking for a building, and everyone just guffawed with laughter, because I think you'd looked at about 10 up to that point. And you know, it was just a very simple thing that I saw. God wants to speak to you through what you see with your eyes. The mind. God wants to speak to our minds through our thought life. One of the ways in which God speaks through our mind is through inspired ideas. You ever had an inspired idea that you thought, that wasn't me, that was God? Well, that's one of the ways God speaks. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, and here he's quoting the Old Testament, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. But these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. And then in verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, the Old Testament prophets, when they were writing about God, they were saying, who can know what's in the mind of God? Who can instruct him? Who knows what God has prepared for those who love him? What no eye has seen, no ear has heard. But Paul, when he's writing 1 Corinthians 2, he says, no, listen, these things have been revealed to you by the Spirit. You now have the mind of Christ. I mean, that sounds almost blasphemous, doesn't it? That's what Paul says. You now have the mind of Christ. You may say, well, Phil, you know, God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. That's true. But guess what? When you got grafted into Christ, God raised you up and seated you with him in heavenly places, which means that his thoughts now have become your thoughts. You have been given the mind of Christ. And that's why Paul says, listen, when you're choosing what to fill your mind with, think on what is lovely, think on what is praiseworthy, think on what is noble, think on what is admirable, because that is the thoughts of God right there. That's how God is thinking. You've been given the mind of Christ, which means that the creative processes of your thinking, your ideas, actually can be inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Now, I'm not saying that every idea you have is necessarily from God, but some of the ideas, some of those things, some of those flash ideas you think, I'd love to do this. Oh no, that's just me being silly. I tell you, often at those moments, I believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's those moments when you get an idea, you think, wouldn't it be amazing if I could do this, or I could try this, or someone could do that? Don't dismiss those moments, because I believe very often in those moments when we have those inspired ideas, that is the Holy Spirit trying to communicate God's plan and purpose to you. And of course you need to test it. You need to say, does this honor Jesus? Does this line up with Scripture? Does this fit the overall package of what I read in the Bible? Ask those questions, but God can speak to you through your thoughts. God obviously can also speak through your dreams. Just wave at me if you dream a lot. Pay attention to your dreams, the things that God speaks in those night hours. Again, I was in the car with my daughter this week, and she said, Dad, do you know what kind of church I think we should be? I was like, tell me. She said, I think we should be the kind of church where people just walk past the building and they fall on their knees and they get saved on the spot. I think we should be that kind of church. She said, I think we should be the kind of church where people just get convicted of sin as they just walk past the building, as they will go drive down Ampt Hill Road, that they just suddenly get hit by the presence of God. I think we should be that kind of church. I was like, that's fantastic. So what made you think of that? She said, oh, well, I had a dream this week of that happening. I was like, wow, that's good. That's good. See, God wants to speak to you in your dreams. Pay attention to your dream language. God wants to speak through your ears, the things that you hear. Isaiah 30, 21. God says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in it. Often, God speaks words to you in what I would call the inner audible voice of God. So it's those words or those sentences, those phrases that come to you, again, just like kind of flash thoughts that are there one moment and gone the next. Those inner audible thoughts or words from God. Again, I remember just waking up one morning this week, and as soon as I woke up, I felt God speak to me. He said, Phil, I want to talk to you about your prayer life. I was like, okay. He said, you know, do you pray just to get stuff done, or do you pray to bless me? I was like, okay, Lord. And it just came as the inner audible voice of God to me. God wants to speak through his words. God also wants to speak through the mouth. This is words spoken by us. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where something's come out of your mouth and you suddenly like step back and you thought, wow, that was good. That was amazing. I think that was God. Because God can speak through inspired word, inspired speech. I remember praying for someone recently, and I just praying for them. I just began to pray and say, God, please will you come and deal with the root of sadness. Now, I hadn't planned to say that. It just came out of my mouth. And as soon as I said it, the guy I was praying for just began to weep and break down. And we then began to have just time talking together about what the root of that sadness was. And that particular gentleman got some real breakthrough that morning. Now, I didn't plan to say that. It just came out of my mouth. And sometimes God can take your natural speech but inspire it by his Spirit so that he begins to talk. Also, God wants to speak to us through the counsel of others, through the words that other people say to us. Proverbs 15:22 says this, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So one of the key ways that God wants to speak to you is through other people giving you counsel. If you think that you don't need the counsel of other people, then you are mistaken. If you think that you can just exist in your own little bubble, just you and the Lord hearing him, actually one of the ways in which God has designed you to hear his voice is through other people giving you counsel and giving you wisdom. In fact, it's the art of listening to others that enables your own voice to be listened to. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14:37. It says, if anyone thinks that they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they themselves will be ignored. Paul's saying this, listen, you want your voice to be heard, you need to learn to listen. Because God wants to give you his counsel through other people. And then lastly, the nose. Everyone give a big sniff for me. There you go, the nose. Okay, God wants to speak to us through our gut instincts and intuitions. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. And the word senses here literally means an organ of perception, a bit like your hearing, a bit like your sight. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, Those who can discern good on evil are those who've learnt through practice how to discern, whose senses have been trained how to discern between good and evil. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you've maybe walked into, I don't know, a shop, and before you walked into the shop, you felt fine. But the moment you stepped foot into that shop, let's just say, for example, IKEA, you immediately felt fatigued and exhausted. Anyone had that experience? Yeah. Many men put their hands up at that point. You walk into a room, maybe you walk into this room, or you walk into your workplace, and you just suddenly begin to sense differently than you did 5 seconds before. I don't know if you've ever encountered that. Well, that what's happening there is God is speaking to you through your senses, your intuition, that organ of perception. Remember going to one house with some friends to pray and minister some people. As soon as we walked in the house, numbers of us immediately just felt really sick, like we wanted to vomit. And it was like bizarre. And we're all like, I just feel really sick. Yeah, I feel really sick too. Well, gosh, that's really bizarre. What we discovered was the guy whose house we were in had an absolute fear and phobia of vomit. Like so much so that he couldn't actually hold his own child in case his own child vomited. I mean, it's like a chronic phobia, chronic fear. Now, what were we sensing in our gut? Well, we were sensing something that needed to be dealt with. And God was speaking through our instincts, through our gut intuition. And so, guys, God can speak to us in so many different ways. And let me just say this, one of the keys to hearing God's voice is not methodology, but it's intimacy. God will speak to you in a very different way than the person you're sitting next to, because he speaks to us out of friendship. He speaks to us out of intimacy. And you want to know how to hear his voice? My simple advice would be this: get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Be with him. Proximity makes a difference. Proximity makes a difference. So guys, in conclusion, you want to learn how to fight the good fight of the faith, just like Timothy was called to fight the battle well. Listen, learn to record what God is saying to you. Open your ears and begin to listen. This is absolutely key. Guys, we're going to stop and we're going to pray right now. So why don't we stand? And what we're going to do just in our last minutes that we have in this meeting is we're going to take communion together. And what I want us to do in our groups as we take communion is just to take a moment, A, to ask God to speak to us in this season, for this to be a season where we hear his voice powerfully speaking to us. But also in your groups, just to take a moment to listen to God for one another and to pray and prophesy. And listen, the Bible says that when we prophesy, prophecy is encouraging, is comforting, and it's strengthening. In other words, God has good things to say. And if you want to know if something is genuinely from God, it's important that you listen to it, you weigh it, you take it away with you, you share it with other people, and you say, God, is this your voice? And if it is, let me follow what you're saying. So why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord where you are and let's pray.